With us here right now are two Iovacocas.
Three
Iovacocas, although hopefully only two of them will be speaking too much. Dana Iovacoga and Shinichi Iovacoga. Shinichi, who is the choreographer of a new piece called Line Between. Dana, who directed the piece. I'd like to thank both of you for coming in and talking with us today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Under some very hectic circumstances.
Well, we have a boy in our laps right now, and he's 6 days old. Thankfully, he's asleep, which is why Greg was saying we're hopefully only two of us are speaking.
But he wanted to be out to see the performance.
Yeah, that's what everyone was saying. Yep. He wants to see the performance, so he's coming out now.
Yeah, he wants to know what he's getting in for.
That's right. And this morning we actually considered putting him on stage.
Shameful.
I'm embarrassed to say.
Extremely shameful.
It did cross our minds.
What we believe is that since he's been in the rehearsals all this time anyway, listening to all those sounds from inside the womb, he probably just got curious and said, well, what's going on out there?
Well, that means he knows his part, though. So, you know, he's been to all the rehearsals. He could go on stage.
Yeah.
Well, this piece has been a long time germinating, as it were.
Yeah.
We had you on, I think, almost exactly a year ago to talk about this piece, and it's sort of, there's been a long residency process.
Yeah.
And this is also the directorial debut of an even-length work for Dana. So
that's right.
Let's talk about what this year has been like.
Well, in terms of the piece, I'm presuming.
Yes.
Because we could have a really long,
long show.
Well, this piece itself began with an idea of doing a duet and then expanded to, in a kind of way, several duets. So the idea was that Dohi and I would do a duet. And then all the creative team that got assembled was kind of based on duets. And in that formation, we were working recently with Ralph Lemon, and he kind of put this idea of curators out. And so in a kind of way, initially, as the artistic director for the company, I curated the project. But then in curating the project, then Dana becomes the next curator, right? Okay. And so then I step out of curating the project to being a player in the project. And then we have that kind of, you know, shifting relationship. And so that's speaking more generally, rather than going, yes, we had a tech residency in February, and then we had another residency out in our place in Petrolia in June, which it did happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah. What would you like to add?
Well, just that the seed of the piece, as the name implies, is the space between waking and sleep. And there's a scientific term for it, which is hypnagogia.
Hypnagogia.
Hypnagogia. And so that was the starting point. And we did a lot of talking and research and ruminating on that particular line between, the one between waking and sleep. And I feel like that sort of ballooned into all these other lines between other things. So it's been sort of a constant discovery of what borderlines we're treading on. Mm-hmm. And the dreaming, waking one feels like the main one, but of course there's all these branches now shooting out from that theme.
Well, here's the big one, right? There's this baby boy sitting in my lap right now. And he, you know, when at the birth time, it's like the line between doesn't get any sharper or more felt at that time, because it's also a dangerous time. And, you know, edgy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going in this kind of, you know, he's doing the gateway between one world and another, you know, and he's in that line between. And I've gotten into conversations with people in this matter where people who leave this world and people who come into this world, this experience has got a similarity in terms of the people who are there to receive or to wave farewell.
Wave at the docks, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's elements like this that do, in their own way, come into the piece itself. What's the line between you and me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, something as open or but kind of profound. It's an easy thing to say, but it's like it's really hard to wrap your mind around that, really. Yeah.
Did his impending arrival affect the piece at all? And has his arrival affected the piece at all? I mean, up until a week ago, he was imminent, but not here yet. Yeah. But you knew he was coming, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his pre-arrival affected everything for me. It imbued everything with his spirit. And then when he came, for me, there was sort of this wonderful moment of letting go of being, you know, director and sort of saying, okay, it's my job is done. And now really happy to hand it off to the performers and the other people who all along, it's extremely collaborative. It's been all of our process and all of our creation all along. And so with his coming, I sort of had to let go of being able to participate in the final part. And luckily I get to see it today. So I'm really thrilled about that. But I think it also encouraged us to get it together a little more quickly, perhaps.
And also maybe in the speaking of things, want to name a few names. Mm. Yeah, in that that in a kind of way, the most core team has been Dohee and Dana and I. You know, so we've been, you know, the most at it in terms of time and planning and whatnot. But then Jason and Suki, who are the musicians, have been integral from the beginning and weaved into it. And Amy Rathbone, who is the installation artist, this is her first time doing a theater piece. So she's a giant in her own world of installation art.
Student here at UC Berkeley.
Oh yes, yes, and she's bringing that kind of sensibility into a stage production. So she's a person who normally creates the visuals that stand by themselves, and now suddenly the visuals are in relationship to these moving bodies and to these sounds. And then, of course, Alan Wilner, who has been with Inkboat, lighting up Inkboat, you know, from the beginning.
Since before Inkboat was Inkboat, even, possibly.
Well,
just Inkboat.
Inkboat was Inkboat, okay. and then Alan came into it, but really close to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then Frank Lee, as always, is there, you know, making everything right.
Well, I thought it was interesting when you were talking about duets that you have two musicians as well, and you have Frank and Amy doing the sort of the architectronics of it. Poor Alan doesn't have anybody else.
Well, Alan and Dana was the idea of a duet for me.
Uh-huh.
And then Dana introduced a break in the duet formula. She thought of bringing Paling in. Mm. And so Paling Cao, who has also been in the production Odd, has been brought in. And so she's a third element and a very interesting, it's like in a kind of way she off balances and she brings a new kind of balance into the whole mixture.
Has the long process for this resulted in a piece that's different from previous Inkboat shows?
Well, I would say it's different. And in terms of process, it's been, you know, oftentimes our process is that we go very intensive for like a couple months where there's nothing else exists for us, right? There's like, we don't do anything else. This is it, the piece itself. And this has been spread out over a long time at the same time that we're doing other things. So it's given us time to like sit with things longer. And so, yes, different, but how?
And oddly, let the unconscious work on it in the background, which is, again, that sort of split. Where does something, you know, if you're letting something percolate in the back of your mind while you're doing something else, what part of you is it that's working on that percolation?
True.
Yeah, I would also add that perhaps this piece leans slightly more toward theater and less toward dance, although Inkboat works, I would say, are always a hybrid of the two. But I feel like that's another line that we're writing on, maybe more than previous shows.
Mm. And Dohee has got some vocal cords, I might add, that are utilized, I might add.
Yeah. It's musical theater.
Well, that I always the knew wrong there was image.
I always knew there was a musical inside Shinichi, just waiting to come out.
Yeah. Actually, ever since, like, back in some early days when I was studying Tadashi Suzuki method, and my teacher at that time, Yukihiro Goto, he was oftentimes saying that musical theater was, like, what he wanted to do. And I thought, what? That just doesn't seem to fit. But he was talking about this sort of thing, you know, mm-hmm. where it is dance and theater and song, but it's just not, you know, it's not cheesed up in the way that we think of musical theater being.
Well, there's even, I mean, if you're thinking about Inkboat pieces, I mean, you think a dance piece, you also even think of, like silent stand-up comedy in a way. I mean, there's all different sorts of elements that you, if you say the word, your mind goes to somewhere else, but then when you see it on stage, you can see how actually that does fit in a way. There are just comical elements, yeah. or, you know, silent movie elements, or, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
There, you would definitely get some of that if you come to see this show. You get a little jujitsu demonstration.
Oh, yes.
A little Edith Piaf.
Yeah, the Dohi was, you know, brushing up on her jujitsu, and we were both being coached and studying a little bit of tango as part of the process for this as well. So, you know, it enlivens us to study something new or to do something that we haven't done before when we do a production. So, you know, it keeps us edgy. It keeps us on some level, like, you know, there's something that we don't know what we're doing. Right? Really. You know, I mean, some part of us really thinks we know what we're doing, and there's another part that's in that kind of, you know, that sharp attention.
I'm about to jump into the abyss.
Yeah. I can't just walk comfortably up there and go, I've had this in my bones since I was born, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Although Shinichi has some moments where his judo training, which is his first physical modality, really comes through and shines. So you'll get to see some of what has been in your bones, too.
Yeah, that's true.
All along.
All along.
Well, we should mention the specific dates. That premieres tomorrow at ODC at 8 p.m. And then there are two shows on Saturday, 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and then a 7 o'clock p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah.
ODC located, it's
17th and Shotwell.
Shotwell, yes.
Yeah, in San Francisco. By the way, the 30 Ovakogas is decided that it's his time to shine.
6 days old and already being broadcast across the bay.
And it occurred to me that this is the second time one of our children has come onto the show.
Yep.
Like, I think Zoe was on for the Cord interview, mm-hmm. maybe at about a year and a half or just a little over a year old. I remember we were having issues with her sippy cup.
I do remember
doing
that.
The interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you actually had to leave the room to administer the sippy cup.
Yes.
And oddly enough, the Pina Bausch dancer, Julie Shanahan, also has a child that was brought with her from Germany. So, uh-huh. But a 7-year-old. So, but you'll hear a tiny little bit of a 7-year-old in the upcoming interview.
Nice. All right.
KALX is a child-friendly place.
Yes. Family values.
Inkboat.com for more specific information and for tickets.
And we have a blog.
You have a blog.
If you go to inkboat.com, for the first time ever, we have a blog. And thank you to Suki for getting that blog all together, and to Jason for making all sorts of little things happen like that.
Inkboat's piece, Line Between, opens tomorrow. Shinichi Iovakoga and Dana Iovakoga and Junior. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.